I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. I surrender it all to you, O God. So many roads and chances I've taken. I made many mistakes along the way.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Prophetic Prayer Warrior Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Kim Jackson.
And your co-host, Tyrande Hamilton.
Hey, Tyrande, today we're talking about warrior, which is the last piece of our title as PPW.
Yes.
Oh, so are you ready for this one, Tyrande? You ready to go with this one today?
I'm ready. Previously, we have discussed the first two elements, which are the prophetic and prayer. And these two topics, we're very familiar with it. However, today's discussion, being on the third and final component of Prophetic Prayer Warriors, PPW, we're going to discuss the warrior part. So, Kim, let me start the program by asking you to explain the revelation behind adding warrior with the prophetic and prayer.
Yeah, The way God has showed me with the PPW, I know if you go search online, you see more of it says prayer, prophetic prayer,
right,
or prayer warrior. You don't actually see the three together.
Right.
The way he revealed it to me was warrior. It's like a person who's prepared for war, to pretty much go to battle for a person or for himself.
Okay, prophetic being a voice for God.
Yes.
Prayer as being in communication with God. So the warrior aspect of it is how to deal with everyday life.
Yes.
And that can be a war.
Warrior.
That can be a war. Yeah, okay. Because we've got a lot of things that come at us. Okay, so let's define what a warrior is.
Okay.
Now, what I did, I went and looked up in Webster's Dictionary, and it said it's a person engaged or experienced in warfare, a soldier, a person who shows or has shown great vigor, courage, aggressiveness toward their enemy. Now, sometimes that's not me, so thank God for the Holy Spirit who helps me in warfare when it comes to prayer. He's the one that reveals to me, yeah, how to be aggressive, and I allow him to be that in me.
So being at war, you always have to be aggressive when you're doing your prayers, because you want that answer. You're looking for that answer for the situation that you're in. So to go to battle as a warrior, you have to stand up and just...
Instead of hiding and shrinking back.
Exactly.
We have to come... I think about the armor of God. And we hear it and we say it all the time. God never gave us any piece of armor for the back. Everything was going forward toward our enemy.
You know, you're so right. Because if you read the scripture tells you the breastplate.
The breastplate.
The shield.
The shield.
The helmet.
Yes.
The sword.
The sword. Everything is covered except for, even your feet. Everything is covered except for your back. And so, therefore, he wants us to be going forward. And sometimes we have to stop and rest, but not retreat. Okay. Especially when he sends us into battle.
Battle, exactly.
And life can be a battle. Sometimes there are days of rest, other times it's days of warfare. And sometimes the warfare is not even for ourselves.
Exactly. It's you probably, sometimes when you're in that battle, you're actually battling, you could be praying for someone else, someone that God has either put on your mind or put in your heart to just go to battle for that person. Like God maybe just woke you up that morning and said, you know, I need for you to pray for that person. You ever had that incident in your life, Charlie?
Oh, yeah, around 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
That's when they come most of the time. But, you know, there are also times when I'm in battle for myself. And that's going to lead me into a definition that I found that for me is very clear. And I found it is one of the best I've found, and it comes in the form, simple form. And I found it in a workbook of a class that I had taught in Bible study.
Okay.
And it was called Spiritual Warfare, Biblical Truth for Victory.
And good
it was
title.
Yes, it was a great topic. That's what intrigued me to the study. It was co-authored by John Franklin and Chuck Lawless. Again, that's Spiritual Warfare, Biblical Truths for Victory, co-authored by John Franklin and Chuck Lawless. And this is what they said. It's the conflict of opposing wills, namely that of God and his followers, versus Satan and his followers. God is good and seeks to do good. He cannot do evil. Satan is evil and seeks to do evil. He cannot do good. God's will always desires that which builds. Satan's will always desires that which destroys. He desires that which is right. God desires that which is right, pure, and lovely. Satan desires that which is wrong, corrupt, perverse. Therefore, they can never be in agreement. That's the definition that they gave of warfare. And I would be inclined to add to theirs, not just that when you talk about two opposing wills,
yeah,
God and Satan, sometimes that will that we're fighting and struggling with is our own will as well.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're fighting against your will, and you almost, when you're fighting against your will, you're also fighting against the will of God, because you're trying to do what you want to do.
Yes, and sometimes that's the easy way. And think about the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes, how Jesus was fighting against the flesh.
His will. He, yeah. My interpretation, the reason it was such a struggle is he got a vision of what he had to go through, and it was like, oh, my flesh is saying, I'm not going to do that. And yet his heart was saying, I've got to be obedient to the will of God, because I think he saw also the greater good that would come out of it.
Exactly. I truly agree with that. It's difficult to be in a situation, especially when God has put you there, to do something, and you know in your heart that's the outcome.
Yes, not always a good one.
No, it's not always a good one, but you have to stand and let God take you through it. Let God fight the battle while you're standing.
Kim, in your giftedness as a prophet, and God gives you a word that's not always very pleasant, okay, is that not a struggle for you to bring forth the word as God gave it to you and not try to sugarcoat it or change it or deny it?
It is. Sometimes when God gives you a word like that, it's difficult to, one, process it, because you're trying to process it with your thinking and not God thinking.
Wow.
So what you have to do is actually put yourself aside and let the Spirit just work through you. Remember, being a voice or a prophetic person of God, you're just that mouthpiece. God didn't ask you to change the word. He is asking you to give the word. And the battle is, the battle that you have is trying to add your interpretation, because you're trying to understand what
yes.
he's telling you, instead of just lay it out. It may not make sense to you, but it'll make sense to that individual.
You know, even in prayer, it's the same concept, in that I may believe, let's say there's a murderer, okay?
Yeah.
And God says, I need you to pray for them. I have to set aside all my prejudices. My will says, I know you did this, I know you're guilty, and you should be punished. But God is telling me to pray for them, that they can find mercy and grace. So that warfare appears in both elements of the prophetic and
yes,
prayer.
Yes, it does. It does. So it just, no matter what role you take as a prayer person or the prophetic, you're always going to deal with that warfare. Because, I mean, through life as Christian, once you accept the role of a Christian, you're pretty much saying that I'm ready to battle. Mm-hmm. You're ready to get on the field, armor up, have your sword in your hand, and say, Lord, I'm ready to do what you've called me to do.
Bottom line, not my will, but your will be done.
Exactly.
Wow.
Sometimes that is truly difficult to go with that, because you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't know the outcome. Well, you're not supposed to. You're just supposed to stand and do what God has showed you to do.
Now, that leads me into my next conversation,
okay,
which is on obedience. Doing what God said that we're supposed to do. When I think about that, first of all, let's go back into where this battle began with humanity. Because in the beginning, Adam was walking with God. I mean, oh my God, I cannot even imagine, okay, being in paradise. But nevertheless, that's where he was. And what broke that was his act of disobedience. Sin, yes. It said Adam created the first sin, and that sin was not murder, because he didn't kill anybody, he didn't commit adultery, he didn't tell a lie, he was disobedient. And so disobedience in everything is that's the battle, trying to be obedient to what God is saying, what he's told us, and not leaning to my own understanding. So now that we've established that, Kim, I need you to explain to me, what does our enemy look like? You know, we've seen the pictures, you know.
Look in the Webster's, he's red, got a long tail with an arrow pointing, got a pitchfork. No, your enemy is not what they show us in books. Your enemy is a spiritual enemy. And God tells us that you're fighting a spiritual battle.
Yes.
A spiritual battle don't mean someone that you can physically see. Because you could wake up today and say, okay, I have no enemies. But then the next thing you know, you meet a person down the street that just doesn't like you.
They don't even have to have a cause.
Yeah.
So our enemy can come in many forms.
Yes.
Because it is spirit.
It is spirit. Because that spirit can go to anyone.
And that's when we need to recognize that. When my supervisor or my job or my kids or a neighbor or a friend does something that's contrary against me or just against me, it's that spirit that's working in them. And that's what gives us the ability to pray.
Yes.
Pray against that spirit, not the person. And then sometimes be prophetic and speak to that thing and say, okay, yeah, this is not going to happen today. So we have to recognize that it's not flesh and blood that we're fighting with, which goes to Ephesians 6:12. And it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of heaven, the evil in heavenly realms. Kim, talk about that.
Well, I see the interpretation of this scripture telling us that the person that you see walking down the street is not your enemy. He's not the one that God has put in front of you and said, you're going to have to battle him on a day-to-day basis. God is saying there's an evil force present in the earth that comes after God's people.
Yes.
And we have to be prayed up. We have to put on our warfare gear to be able to battle this enemy. Because this enemy can come in every form, every shape and form.
You know, he comes against God's people, but actually, if you think about it, he's active in the whole world.
Yes.
He's trying to destroy. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's up to us to step up to the plate and be the warriors that God is calling us to be. And in order to do that, one thing we have to remember is the words of 2 Chronicles 20:15. And it says, the battle is not yours, it's God's. So through him, that's where the victory comes, which means we have to surrender our lives to him, listen to him, connect with him in prayer, and speak what he tells us to speak. Speak to your mountain. Tell it to move. Speak to your enemy. Tell it to move. Prophesy, Kim.
Prophesy. I mean, one thing we need to understand, too. Every warfare that you go through is not meant to harm you, but to strengthen you.
Yes.
And we have to look at the warfare and ask God, why am I going through this? Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you don't get an answer, just keep going. Because where you're at right now, God may be trying to strengthen you to prepare you for not where you're standing, but where you're going.
And in addition to that, he may be also using you because he knows that you're the one for the battle.
Yeah.
But the battle is not for you. You're warfaring for someone else. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was already victorious.
Yes, he was.
But his battle was for us. And so when we go through, if we would put on the eyes of Jesus and see ourselves as in warfare for someone else, it's not always, and that would keep us from saying, oh, why me? Why me? No, it's not always about us. Sometimes it's because God chose you because you're the one to lead at this time.
Yeah, and most people don't understand why. We're always asking God that question, Lord, why am I going through this? I'm beginning to change my thought instead of saying why, Lord, and to say thank you, Lord, for allowing me to go through it. It's difficult to say thank you than to ask the question why. Because we always want to know, what have I done? Just like if you read the book of Job, Job asked, what did I do to go through this? Well, Job didn't do anything in the beginning.
To God, Job was actually in a place of honor.
Exactly.
So he let the enemy come.
Yeah. So okay. You just got to put yourself in the mind of Job. You may not have done anything, but God may be preparing you to help someone down the line. It may be a testimony that God is putting your spirit that he needs to birth through you.
Wow. And that reminds me one thing that we have to keep in our minds all the time. 1 Peter 4:12, it says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Think it not strange when the fiery trials come, okay? Because they're coming.
Yeah, they're coming.
Expect them.
But you just have to be prayed up and be prepared. God prepares you for what's coming. But if you're not willing to put on the armor, strap on your sword, and be willing to battle, then you got to ask yourself, is God at fault or are you at fault?
Ah, we don't want to ask that.
No.
We'd rather say, God, what are you doing and why are you doing this? And you're right, Kim, because there's some battles that come to us because of our own actions.
Yes.
We know that we suffer the consequences of our own choices. One thing about God, he will always give us a choice. So we can either do right or we have to suffer the consequences of doing wrong.
And I'd rather just do right and let God lead me.
Man, that's my that's my desire, okay? I fall down sometimes, but that's it. Another thing I want to remind our listeners of Psalms 34:19, and it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. A lot of things are going to come toward us every
yes.
day. We're the rains on the just and the unjust. It's going to happen. But understand that God has promised to make us more than conquerors.
Yeah, because I know my question has always been to the Lord. Okay, Lord, I'm going through this. And you said, I know that you said rains on the just and the unjust. But why do I have to go through this right now?
Can I have an umbrella? Okay, it can run, but give me an umbrella. It can rain, but...
Oh.
Okay. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Sometimes all we have to do is stand up. Just stand, resist, and the devil will flee, not us, but he will... And that's one of the promises that God has given us.
Yep.
Submit yourself to him. Lord, your will be done in my life. And whatever you ask me to do, that's what I'm attempt to do. And in those instances, he said, I'll even send the enemy away from you.
See, that's the thing. We have to stand.
Yes.
I know a lot of times we fall down and we just say we can't get up. If you get that feeling in your life where you just cannot stand, I just ask that you find some people who can pray. They can lift your hands up. Just like when Moses was getting tired. His hands was lifted up.
Yes. His hands were Aaron.
Yeah. His hands were lifted up to give him that strength so they can continue on fighting.
And that's the thing we have to also remember is we're not in this thing alone.
No.
Too many times we try to fight our battles alone, and that's when we suffer casualties and losses. But if we come into battle with my partners, my fellow followers, my fellow believers, then we're stronger in numbers.
Yes.
I am reminded of a parable. I guess it's a parable, but the father had 12 twigs, and he had 12 sons, and he gave each one of them one of the twigs, and he said, okay, break it in half. And they did. And then he got another 12 twigs and put them together and banded them together and passed them around to each of his sons. And he said, break it. And they couldn't because there was strength in the 12 together. So we have to remember, don't try and go through this walk alone.
Right. It's always strength in numbers. Don't be that lonely person trying to do everything on your own.
You can't. We were not meant to be that way. We are part of a body,
yep.
And we have to work together. Let's talk about 2 Corinthians 10:4-6, and it says, and I want to read it from the King James Version, which
okay.
I love, and then I also want to read it from the Message Bible, which is very interesting to me.
Love the Message Bible.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience. Okay, and that's the King James Version.
Okay.
The Message Bible says, the world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing the entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fighting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. We cast down every thought that would dare exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And one of those barriers, the thoughts, when I say I can't, I have to remember that God's word says I can do all things through Christ. So that's how we begin to cast down those thoughts by replacing them with what God says.
You know, as you read the it from the King James, and you read it from the Message Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The King James, it's I have nothing against King James.
It's
I love it.
I love it.
But the Message Bible, it's almost just like taking a hammer and just dropping it. It's just like taking a hammer. And what I got out of it, as she was reading, I saw something that said, are you ready to plow?
Wow. Okay.
It's like, Warfare is like you got to prepare yourself for warfare. It's just like when you're planting, you got to prepare the ground.
Yes.
And it's, are you ready to plow? Are we ready to plow? Are we ready to go forth and watch God move?
Are we prepared? While we sit back saying, God, what are you waiting on? Or I'm waiting for God to move. He said, I've empowered you with everything you need to be victorious.
All we have to do is just go.
All we have to do is go. Prepare ourselves. Put on our armor.
Yes.
Use our weapon, be skillful with it, and watch what God work. Now, that's going to be some exciting times. It's going to be some exciting times.
Yes, it is going
to
be.
Here's a difficult one, Kim. I need you to talk to me about this.
Which one is this one?
James 1:2-4. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Count it all joy. And this is actually a command. He's not a request. He's not saying, oh, I need you to think about it this way. He says, no, count it all joy.
In other words, you're going through bad times, but consider, most people would tell you, or what I've heard, is when you're going through your hard times, praise as you're going through it. So count it all joy.
Well, you know, the only way you can count it all joy is to see the victory at the end.
Exactly.
I cannot at all look at my circumstances, and I cannot look at or listen to other people and other things, because they tend to want to sympathize with you. And I've even encountered those that, yeah, well, I like your story and I understand where you're at, but my story is worse than yours. So they compound their story on top of your story. And before it's over, we all both crying in each other's arms. But he said, count it all joy. Whatsoever things are good, pure, just, and of good report. Think on these things. So we have to think on the victory in order to count it joy, because going through, that's painful. And there's no joy in some things that we have to deal with.
You're right. There's no joy in it. I mean, you have to look at, if you're going through right now, always turn back and look where God has brought you from. If you've been one that has looked for a home and you've gotten one, but it becomes to where it's difficult to keep it, or you got a car and God blessed you with it, but it's difficult to keep it. But the fact is that God allowed you to get it. And the way that he showed you how to do it. So don't dwell on what's going on right now. Just know that if God has given to you, God will give you the provisions to keep it. So whatever pain, suffering you're going through, God is there to heal you. God is there to touch you and get you through. Always depend. Warfare is always going to come, but there's always a way out.
Yes. Submission is the key. Submission to whatever's coming my way.
Yeah.
Submission to the fact that God is able to bring me through it. Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. So I don't rely on my own strength, because, see, if I look through my own eyes, I see my own insecurities. I see my own inferiority. I see my own lack.
Yep.
But I have to keep my eyes on the prize, which is the word of God. That's my victory. Colossians 1:28-29, it says, He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. God in me is my power.
Power.
That's my victory. That's how I overcome.
And it's sometimes difficult to see that power in you, because you're going through so much to where all you see is the outer side, which is, you're using your, instead of your inner ears, you're using your outer. Everything that you hear, all the bad news is all just coming into you. But if you look deep inside, you see that God has given you the strength, the power to get through anything. Remember, Jesus told us, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, just the faith of a mustard seed. I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed. Mustard seed is really small. If you have that amount of faith, remember, when you put a mustard seed in the ground, when it grows big. So as you hold on to that small bit of faith, it's going to grow. And this is not from reading books. This is from experience.
Yes.
From true experience.
You know, one of the things that we have to remember also is, in order to be victorious in warfare, we must be prayerful and learn what the will of God is in every situation we encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 12:2, it says, Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We've got to pray and know what God is speaking to us, so that in whatever situation we don't make a mistake. And what I've done, I went and looked up examples of how Jesus handled those. And it sounds, there's a saying that says, you got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. All right?
Yeah.
And this is something that Jesus did. Let me show you. Yeah, it's kind of funny. But anyway, in Matthew 4:10, he says, Away from me, Satan. While later in the temptation in the wilderness, he allowed Satan to be present all the way up until he set Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple. So at one point he's saying, get away from me, get behind me. At the other, he's allowing him to walk alongside. So our prayer life tells us when he should be there and when the enemy should not, and how to deal with situations. Another one is in Job 1:10. God built a hedge around Job, while in Job 1:12, he removed it for Satan to tempt him to curse God. Contrast. Got to know when to hold him, when to fold him.
Yep.
In Acts 16:18, Paul cast the spirit out of the female slave, while in 2 Corinthians 12:7, a messenger of Satan was allowed to torment Paul for what we believe to be the rest of his life. He could cast it out of the demonic woman, but he had to allow it to torment him.
Okay.
In Mark 5:8, it says, Jesus cast a legion of demons out of a man, yet he let those same demons kill 2,000 pigs in Mark 5:13. I believe our greatest victory, Jesus' greatest victory, it was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here he chose the will of God rather his own. Going back to those two different enemies.
Yeah.
He recognized that the greater good would come from his obedience. And that's what we have to learn in our walk. Seeing the greater good. Yeah, I might be struggling or going through something, but the greater good is my testimony when I come out. And that way, my testimony will also allow me to bring others out with me.
Yeah. That's one thing that your testimony can be a testimony that helps build someone else up. Mm-hmm. Let them know that I'm going through my trials and tribulation, but I still have a way out. Testimonies. Whew.
Yeah. You know, and one thing about our testimony, we have to, and other people's,
yep.
The power of overcoming and being victorious in warfare is not necessarily the testimony. The testimony is a witness of God's word and his promise for what he can do for us and through us. So we have to remember, while we share our stories, I've got to tell you what I based my recovery or my help from, which is God's word. That's my weapon when it comes to spiritual warfare. That's why we need to, and I'm an advocate for Bible study in Sunday school, okay? But any type of study, study to show yourself approved. We've got to make choices in our lives, so we might as well have the wisdom to make the right ones. And the wisdom comes from God's word.
Yeah, it's God's word to keep you standing. Now, I have a question for you. This just came to me out of the palm of my hand. One of the, I just pulled out of the box behind me. But
maybe you should leave it in the box. Okay.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Let's give our listeners some experience of us, of what we experienced going through warfare. Give me some warfare experience that you've gone through your walk with Jesus Christ.
Ooh, you should have asked me that so I could pray on that one. Seems like every day is warfare. Let me share this. This is what comes to mind. Warfare, battle between wheels.
Okay.
And how it can help someone else.
Okay.
This is one of my favorite examples, if I had a favorite or whatever, of dealing with God and his will and my will. Way back when, before they had cell phones, I was on my way to work, and before that, a young lady that worked with me on my job, she asked me if she could carpool with me, ride with me, because uh-huh. she caught the bus, and she had a really bad pattern of being late,
okay.
to the point where they had given her a warning she could not be late again. And so I said, sure, I think the probation period was like 6 weeks or something like that, and so I gave her a ride for 6 weeks. And so she got back in good standing. Everything was fine. And then one morning, this was months later, I woke up, and what we had done was, before I left my house, I said, okay, I'm on my way. And she would come out of her apartment building, give me about 20 minutes to get there, and yeah. she's waiting when I get there. And so this one morning, I got up, and I'm heading down the road, and I hear this voice say, go by and pick up Deborah. And I'm like, what? Go pick up Deborah. I'm like, Deborah should already be on her bus by now. Go pick up Deborah. I hear it again, and I'm like, okay, Deborah doesn't know I'm coming. Go pick up Deborah. And this is all I kept hearing, and I'm arguing with this voice, okay? I'm trying to rationalize why I am not supposed to be obedient to the voice that I hear. I have all these excuses and all these ideas, and so all the while I'm arguing, I am heading toward Deborah's house. And so as I got closer, I said, so how is Deborah going to know I'm out there if she is in her house? I don't know where she's at. I'm too courteous to try and blow the horn and wake up everybody in the neighborhood. I don't want her roommate to think, why is to run in front of my apartment blowing when Deborah's already gone? All these things are going through my mind, but at the same point, I'm being obedient to what I'm hearing. When I get down to her apartment complex, I drive in, pull up to where I normally would park, and out comes Deborah outside of her apartment. She says she woke up late. We never made a call. I just heard God tell me, pick up Deborah. My warfare was, this is crazy because we have not communicated. But that saved her job. She could not be late. And so that was a warfare for me. I mean, there are others for personal struggles, but that's the one I like to share because that also told me I can argue with God, but my obedience is what's bottom line. So he and I can dialogue. And I think about the scripture that says, come, let us reason together. Yeah, we were reasoning all the way down there, but at the same point, I was obedient. Deborah got to work. I heard God clearly and was obedient. So that was warfare for me that morning, where usually I have a nice little ride to work. Yeah, we were struggling that morning, but but anyway, that's the story I choose to tell today, okay?
That is a good story. Okay.
Ready or not, like it or not, we have that on the homepage, Blog Talk homepage.
Yeah.
Ready or not, like it or not, as a follower of Christ, Warfare's coming. We're either in it, just got out of it, got elevated to a promotion to another one. So our obedience is the great thing that we have to remember, because that's what determines the outcome, whether it's victorious or not. When it comes to the kingdom of God, remember that we do matter. God is concerned, and we are all a part of the body of Christ. So never ever think that what you do is insignificant or of greater value than anyone else. My obedience as an insignificant, or what you would consider an insignificant worker in the church, maybe a greeter at the door, but if that's where God called me to be and I'm doing it with my whole heart, and I may come against some things that will make me want to... Well, you know, there are some folks that come in the church that just kind of drive you to go the other way.
Yeah.
But we still have to be who we are, and that's part of our obedience. And that's considered warfare, because there's an opposing force that wants to make you become negative and take away your smile. So, I mean, that's warfare. Warfare is anything that's contrary to what God called us to do. The struggles, the fights, but in everything, we have to remember that we are more than conquerors. We are victorious. The battle's not ours. God will fight for me. Before we close, I want to add one more scripture, and it says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized into one spirit, so to form one body. Whether it's Jew, Gentile, slave, or free, we are all given one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot would say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not stop being part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being the part of the body. If the whole body were the eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, then how would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it were, there are many parts and one body. To our listeners, if one of us fail, we all fail. So let's get together, each doing our part, so that the whole will rise up in victory. We may lose some battles, but win the war as we follow God's plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Next week we're going to talk about unity in the body, and that's on our program for June the 15th.
And we want to thank you all for joining us here at Prophetic Prayer Warrior Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. I surrender it all to you, O God.
many roads and chances I've taken. I've made many mistakes along the way. Find the answers deep within. But then I heard a voice spoke so clear to me. He's the way, the truth, the light of life. He's everything I need. And even though I'm not worthy, he keeps on blessing me. That's why I'll surrender all to thee. Him first before anything else on this earth. I love him. I'm filled with joy. He took my tears, my heart.